You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And did vigorously and said, hey, wait a minute. We've been doing this for 25 years since 1990. Here was the intent of the parties. We've been doing exactly what the parties intended. And the court agreed with that.
And so what the court did is the appellate division affirmed the summary judgment.
But on different grounds.
On different grounds. And so that, you know, you go up to Warren County and Harmony is still able to extract gravel and
at the price that was agreed in the 2000 amendment. And I guess the lesson to be learned here is that you really have to be careful how you draft things. Now, I happen to know the agreement in this case because I saw it, because as you pointed out, you and I each have had some dealings with these parties. And it was, as I recall, basically a handwritten, it might have been partially typewritten, but it was done without lawyers, okay? And that's really a mistake. It's penny wise and pound foolish for business people to do that. Even if you think you're overpaying or paying a premium or whatever, you know, the legal advice that you don't buy could come back to hurt you later. And I know that sounds trite and coming from a lawyer such as myself or you, it sounds self-serving, but it's really no different than the old expression by the auto mechanic, you can pay me now to do an oil change or pay me later to overhaul your engine. Or the doctor, it says, look, preventive medicine, you know, an apple a day, do something now, get checkups. And it's just a lesson in life, Pat, in my view. But with the law, I think it's even more important because, as in this case, this enterprise started in 1990. So the failure to have obtained proper legal advice in 1990 has done what? It is severely prejudiced an heir 25 years later.
Right. And the second agreement, or the first agreement, expired in February of 2000. And so then there was a new agreement signed by Smith, who was still alive, in March of 2000. Now, although that lease contained many of the same terms, one of the things that it did was it changed the term of the lease. Where the first lease was 10 years, it changed the term of the lease to an indeterminate period of years, and until the defendant Harmony determines, and they had the sole discretion to determine that it was no longer commercially feasible or reasonable to continue removing the materials. Now, the other thing, and I have not read the lease, but apparently the royalty payment for every ton of certain processed materials or gravel was increased from $1 to $1.25. But apparently, according to at least the decision, as long as Harmony continued the lease and it was indeterminate, they only had to pay the $1.25. And I think that's why John is saying that the owner of the property, Lisa Van Horn, wanted more money and was basically looking at a lease from the year 2000 and was saying, wait a minute, I should be paid more money. And that's why she hired attorneys and went to court, as she has done in many other cases. But in any event, that's kind of, my take on it.
It's a very interesting case. But again, in my view, Pat, it stands for the proposition that preventive medicine, just as in healthcare, is very worthwhile. Get a little bit of legal advice up front. Don't sign contracts without checking with someone who can provide you with good legal advice to protect your rights well into the future.
And that is really true because, of course, in this case, and the incredible thing of this case is obviously the legal fees on both sides were...
They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, no doubt, getting to the appellate division. And when you think about it, because Van Horn's interests weren't properly protected, all the money she's going to lose indefinitely. Harmony can now stay there indefinitely at that lower rate. And you know, just think. But again, that was typical of what people did in that day and that particular individual. And now, years later, his heirs are suffering. And again, this affects things that you and I do directly. I'm an estate planner. You're a matrimonial family law attorney. The advice that you don't get today could dramatically hurt not only you, but your heirs decades from now.
That's true. Well, we're at the end of the program, and we'll be back with the sports guys after the news.
Thanks for joining in today, Pat.
Thank you for coming in.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Today marks the 14th anniversary of one of the darkest days in American history. Nearly 3,000 people died when four hijacked airliners crashed into the World Trade Center complex, the Pentagon, and a field in southwestern Pennsylvania. President Obama will lead a moment of silence on the South Lawn of the White House this morning. Commemoration events also set for New York City at the Flight 93 National Memorial near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. Vice President Joe Biden and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will join hundreds of motorcycle riders participating in the 9/11 Memorial Motorcycle Ride at a lunch in New York City today. The ride pays tribute to the strength, courage, and heroism of the first responders who led recovery efforts during and following the September 11th attacks. Groups of riders will be traveling from Albany, Ulster, and Suffolk counties before converging on Manhattan at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. This is USA Headline News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and it's my birthday. I tell you, friends, I've learned a lot in the past 125 years. The secret to a long life is to keep joy in your heart and chicken in your belly. I can't help you with the joy part, but the chicken is available in my $20 family fill-up with 8 pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, 2 sides of taters, coleslaw, and 4 biscuits. It feeds a family of 4. KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Right now at the Home Depot, save 20% when you buy one or more pallets of in-stock GAF shingles. So, let's raise the roof and lower the cost with bulk pricing on top-of-the-line GAF shingles, including Timberline, America's favorite shingle. This is worth shouting from the rooftops. Let's do this. Save 20% on one or more pallets of in-stock GAF shingles at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 30th, U.S. only. See store for details.
A U.S. Marine has died following a rollover crash at a San Diego area Marine base. Officials say the Marine died yesterday, and 18 others were injured during a training exercise at Camp Pendleton Marine Base. Military officials have not released details on how the crash happened, but say several of the injured Marines are still in the hospital. The NFL says the New England Patriots are not to blame for radio issues during Thursday night's game. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin had trouble communicating with his staff on their headsets early on in the game.
We were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast for the majority of the first half on our headsets.
An NFL spokesman says inclement weather is to blame for the malfunctioning radios. Heavy rain hit Foxborough before and during the game. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin made it clear it wasn't the first time this has happened at Gillette Stadium.
That's always the case.
Here?
Yes. We let the league officials on site handle it, is what we did.
Did you get satisfaction?
Eventually.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick said his team had radio issues toward the end of the game as the Patriots cruised to a 28-21 victory over the Steelers. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Health officials say 14 years after the attack on the World Trade Center, more survivors and first responders are coming down with 9/11-related diseases. Dr. Michael Crane, the director of the World Trade Center Health Program at Mount Sinai, says workers who thought they were in the clear are now showing up with serious health problems.
I myself, I'm meeting and having my nursing staff meet something like 15 new patients with cancer every week. This has been going on now for weeks and months.
The program is treating 22,000 patients, many with asthma and other irritative diseases. But they're also treating about 1,000 cancer patients, as Dr. Crane described.
You have people going along and going along, and then they're fine. They get a cough. They don't feel good. We had one about 3 weeks ago. It's a lung cancer.
Crane says without the renewal of the Zadruga bill, treatment will stop for thousands of first responders with 9/11-related illnesses.
If the Zadruga bill doesn't get reauthorized, those folks will have no place to go. They can't go back to private insurance because these are work-related injuries. They have to go to workers' compensation, and then they have to win their cases all over, and in some cases, that's going to be too late.
In case you missed it, Taylor Swift is now an Emmy winner. The TV Academy announced juried Emmy-winning winners on Thursday, and the 25-year-old superstar was on the list. She won an Emmy for Original Interactive Program as executive producer and star of Amex Unstaged, The Taylor Swift Experience. The primetime Emmys will air Sunday, September 20th. This is USA Headline News.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend. Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big Z coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, we're on the sports guys. We're played a few of our spots early, so we'll be able to, talk longer. Hi, Ken. Hi, John. I'm Pat Smits, John Manfreda, Ken Millstreet.
Good afternoon, Pat.
We're here. So football has started.
The real sports season is underway.
You're talking about pennant race baseball, right?
That's because I'm a Red Sox fan, and this year we're not relevant.
Well, the Mets... fans got to be pretty happy.
I'm just, you know.
Any Mets fans that you know of?
Well, I'll tell you.
Some Mets fans.
Mets fans, 3 months ago, there were no Mets fans. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's a Mets fan. Typical New York.
Well, I don't know.
As
I
I've said before,
totally
from 1981 to 1996, I never saw one snot-nosed kid wear a Yankees cap. Then in 1996, everybody's wearing a Yankees cap. But other than that.
That's called marketing.
Called front running.
Nobody was buying them, and then all of a sudden they get good and they start buying them again.
I suppose you're right.
So Ken, you have to be pretty happy about what's
happening. Yeah, 7.5 game lead with 22 to play.
Yeah, how are they going to blow it?
They're not. If you saw any of the games this weekend.
Yeah, but the thing is, are they going to allow any of their pitchers to throw in the postseason? They're all going to get, their agents are all going to say, oh, no, my guy reached his limit because we want him to sign a 10-year contract for $1 zillion, so he can't pitch anymore this year.
Well, I don't think that was the agent. The agent works for Matt Harvey. That's Matt Harvey speaking. Scott Boras is his mouthpiece.
Yeah, note, folks, Ken is the only non-lawyer on this broadcast.
That's absolutely his mouthpiece. That's Matt Harvey talking, if you believe anything
else. Well, then Matt Harvey's a wuss.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
If I were a Mets fan, I would be totally disgusted with that. If you're correct, I would say, you know what, I'm a Harvey fan.
You think I'm wrong?
I don't know.
Boris,
what I'm saying is,
Boris can't say that without Harvey's permission.
The agents tell these guys what to do. I mean, you may be right. You know, Harvey's the macho guy, and you may be right. But if that's correct, then he's sitting there saying, oh, I'm not going to pitch more than 175 innings or whatever it is.
Yeah,
regardless of whether we're going into a pennant race, shut me down.
I believe that.
A la Steven Strasburg.
Yes, I believe that, yes.
Well, if that's the case, I could never root for somebody like that. Here I got you have a chance for a team to win, and you're not going to pitch because you know you're afraid you're going to hurt your arm.
Well, look how it shook out. They went to Dr. James Andrews, who did the surgery, and they said, "What's his innings limit?" He said, "I've never given an innings limit on one surgery I've done. I've done over 3,000 of them. I've never told anybody what the innings limit is. Don't even ask that question."
So, what does that do to Mr. Harvey's credibility?
It's Mr. Harvey and his agent that are. I've concocted this.
No. You said a moment ago it's on Harvey. So what does that do to his credibility?
Makes him a liar.
A liar or just totally disingenuous, I guess, to give him a little.
What's the difference between a liar and totally disingenuous?
Well, that's a lawyer.
Because I'm a non-Mets fan, I don't want to make it look like I'm piling on.
No, he's a lawyer.
But anyway, we've already spent too much time, more time than I wanted to spend on the Mets.
So anybody watch the game on Thursday night?
Hold on. One thing before we start.
Okay.
Let's just take a step back here. Today is 9/11.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back to think what happened 14 years ago today.
That's true.
It's a tragic day. It's the most tragic day in this country's history, definitely in my life. I wasn't around in December 7th, 1941. I hope everybody took a moment or two to three to reflect and thank anybody they know or anybody they saw today associated with police, fire, or any kind of rescue squad, because it's 14 years ago today, and you know what? I don't think I heard one person mention it today.
Well, actually, on my program, It's the Law. I guess you weren't listening.
Well, I was driving. I was on 287.
Right. I did. In fact, I spent probably the first 20, 25 minutes talking about it.
Good for
and
you.
And thanked Ruth Ann Brown, who is one of the hosts on Celebration of Life. And I attended this morning the memorial in Clinton, and it was really moving. There was, she puts this together, and it's pretty amazing. I don't know if you know where Patriots Point is in Clinton. It's just a little, right across from the Clinton House. It's just a little corner there, and there's a flag.
So I was just there today. I had lunch at Clinton House today, where you have that big intersection where there's a painted...
Well, if you look, as you walk out the Clinton House, if you look at the corner where you're coming
to right
across,
or left, Pat, when you walk out?
Straight out.
Straight ahead.
It's straight out. It's
on the other side of the street?
On the other side of the street where you come down, and I don't know, what's that old 22?
Right.
And then you're turning to go across the Iron Bridge. It's right there on the corner. Hmm. There's a flagpole. Today they put up a new flag and a new POW flag, and it was from 8 to 9 o'clock this morning. It was very, very moving. Bagpipes, there was a group, I don't remember their name, played someone from the police department, the mayor,
That's
someone
fantastic.
From Cory Booker's office spoke, and in fact they were making a collection.
Cory Booker's office came out to Clinton?
Someone from
Seriously.
Senator Cory Booker's office.
Wow.
Not Cory Booker himself, though.
No, but even so, they don't have a huge staff. I mean, I'm still very impressed by that.
And in fact, he had written something up that this young woman read to the group. And, I mean, I think it's kudos to Ruth Ann Brown that she has put this together for, I don't remember how many years. I know I've been there for the past few years. And it just, you know, it shows that people are continuing.
Yeah. No, contrary to what Ken mentioned, and by the way, thank you, Ken, for even bringing this up because you're 100% correct. But no, I actually did hear quite a bit. You know, I was in the car a bit today traveling, and we and everybody was referring to the 9/11. My youngest daughter Allison's birthday is September 12 tomorrow, and I can still remember coming home about 7 o'clock on that Tuesday evening, and my wife and three daughters were just sitting at the kitchen table when I walked in the door. And everybody just sat there somber. Nobody even said anything. It was no words to say. And I just, you know, comforted, greeted everybody and says, everybody okay? And one of the comments that Allison made was, gee, tomorrow's my birthday. And now this memory is right on the eve of my birthday. And she said, one of my closest friends, her birthday is today, September 11. Now, forever, she's going to. So, I mean, again, she was only 8, 9 years old at the time, and you know, or maybe 10 or 11. But, I mean, that was the impression. It had a personal effect on her in the sense that, wow, this just ruins my birthday forever, and it's because it's such a negative thing for the country and all the people who have been hurt or killed by this. That's going to be what everybody's going to remember on my birthday is all the hurt that happened to the country. And, you know, which I thought from her perspective was a good way to look at it. And I said, well, but on the other hand, now you have a rallying point when that's exactly what September 11 became for everyone, I think.
No, it
and,
did.
You know, so now what was the 10th anniversary a couple of years ago? Today was 15, right?
14.
It was 9/11 2001. Right. That's correct. Okay.
And in fact, just so you know, Patriots Point was established in 2009. And it's very, you wouldn't know it until somebody says and tells you where it is.
Right.
But it's
just
basically
I never
a flagpole and it has flowers around. And the other thing they were doing today, and I think this was worthwhile, if you know Hagedorn, the old mental hospital.
Yes.
This has now been, they closed Hagedorn.
Yes.
And it's now a home, Veterans Haven it's called, for homeless veterans. And in fact, they were collecting money today. They're trying to get new bedding for the homeless
How
veterans
sad.
That come in.
The very guys who we are totally indebted to for having defended the country are here, you know, living under those conditions. It's very sad.
And what was shocking to me is that there are, what did they say, 600 or 6,000? I'm sorry, 600. I think it's 600 homeless veterans in New Jersey.
It must be 6,000. There's way more than 600.
Yeah. Must be 6,000.
I'm sure it's 6,000. In fact, that figure might be white.
But
they go to the VA shelters.
How could they be homeless? Doesn't the VA take care of these people?
No, it's very, very bad.
I mean, the VA will provide medical for them.
Isn't that why most people are homeless, though? There's some sort of medical condition.
Well,
that's true. A lot of it is
mental or drug.
Yes.
But the point is that this is really, you know, they're really doing a great job there, getting a lot of these guys off the street. And, you know, if you've ever been to Hagedorn, it's a beautiful,
it's lovely.
The location
lovely.
Is just lovely.
Yeah.
And I know that they do other fundraisers during the year, but I thought that this was specifically to buy bedding so that, as Ruth Ann said, it's nice to have new clean sheets.
Yeah, that's one of the fundamental things in life, at least have a safe, dry, warm place to sleep.
So I know we all have a lot of places to make our contributions, but anyone, you know, think about sending them.
And it is a sports show, and I know our listeners tune in to hear our opinions on the sports issues of the day. But Ken, again, thank you for bringing up the topic. I think it was very timely and nice that, that we devoted a few minutes to this. And to our listeners out there, again, think of what you can do to help support the country, support the veterans, and all the cause of opposing terrorism so that the world is safe for everyone.
Yeah, and support your police and fire, too.
And that was, and the
you sound like Batman. Ken.
And many of, and also the the first responders, as I mentioned on my earlier program, the first responders. I mean, many of them are now suffering from the effects of going into Manhattan after and trying to clean up, trying to find the remains. And there's so many of them now that have you know, really life-threatening illnesses. So. In any event, it is a day that probably everyone who was 5 years old or older on that day will remember. And we all have our own memories and people that we knew who we lost. And it is a sad day, but it also...
There's so many stories associated with it, Pat. A good, very good close friend of mine, someone I went to law school with, attorney here in New Jersey, his brother worked for Cantor Fitzgerald. And missed his train that morning, overslept, missed it by like 2 minutes, and never got there. And he was a you know, crazy afterwards, saying, you know, why did I survive and all these other people lost? Mm. Yeah, there's stories you hear like that.
You're right.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to continue. I want to start talking about sports pretty soon. But I mean, everybody we're so close to it, and everybody knows somebody.
Yes.
Everybody has their own story about it. I was in a position where I was unlucky enough to see the second plane hit.
Really?
I was in Jersey City, and somebody said, "Hey, you got to see what happened. A plane flew into the towers." And I thought, "What am I thinking? I'm thinking it's a single engine Piper Cub or something."
Yeah.
That's what we all thought.
And
when
I
we
get
first
up. I was on the roof of a building, and I'm
looking at it, and then the second plane.
Yeah,
hit.
The hairs stand up on my arms as I'm speaking. We're looking at it, and we're like, "Oh my God, he was right! Look at this! Look at that plane! That look at the, you know." We were amazed, and of course, we're on the roof in Jersey City. It literally feels like you could reach out and touch it. And then here comes this other plane, and I'm going, "What's wrong with this guy? Was he going in for a picture? What's wrong with him?" Because at the time, we didn't know.
Right.
We thought it was. The pilot had a heart attack and crashed into this, and then he hits the building. I turned to my friend and said, "We got to get out of here. This is World War III just started, because obviously it wasn't an accident."
Right.
And then what really shook me is I'm coming out of Jersey City. I'm headed west, coming home, and every emergency vehicle in the state is going to New York City.
Way.
And it just, you know, I don't know what their fate was. I to this day I don't know. Ambulance after ambulance after emergency vehicle is going to New York. Because that's what they do. Because they were going into a horrendous situation, and I almost felt guilty going the other way.
Right.
Because there was nobody was going west. Everybody was going
by
east.
You getting out of the way, you did your part.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. My car broke down. The engine blew on the way home too. But that's another story for another day.
Wow.
Let's talk football.
Okay.
But thanks to Ruth Ann Brown.
Yeah, I mean
people like her. It really does my heart good to hear that.
Remember,
she's a great
next
person.
Year.
And. Next year, let's right. Everybody should support a cause, whether it's Ruth Ann Brown's or another cause in their own town or something personal to them. Let's support the cause. We can't let, because if we don't, we let the terrorists win. So we have to have that reminder every year. And we had a football game to talk about last night. Patriots.
We did.
Patriots.
We did.
As we're
did you
all
watch
patriotic
it?
Here. I saw a little bit of it.
Pat, I saw the first half and then
asleep.
A little bit into the
I saw most of the second half. And
you saw most
what
of
I
second,
absolutely
I saw
could
most
not
first.
Believe, I think at the time it was 14-9, and they line up near midfield, and they line Gronkowski out as a wide receiver, and they don't pick him up. He's 20 yards down the field putting his hand up, and Brady just lofts it into his hands. What is Pittsburgh thinking? The most dangerous receiver, or one of the three in the league, they just let him run 20 yards down the field?
Well, how many touchdowns did he finally have? Because I watched the first
Brady
half.
Had four, and Gronkowski had three of them.
Gronkowski had three of them.
Yeah.
And,
but Brady was in midseason form, which is kind of amazing, with everything swirling around him. He goes out and completes
19 passes
in a row.
But that's the way it is. He's obsessed with winning, and he was going to work twice as hard not to lose that game because it would have been a big embarrassment.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. As far as a player, hats off to him. He can focus.
Well, what do you think about Mike Tomlin's annoyance about the phones not working? You know, it's amazing. We come here to New England, suddenly our systems don't work. You know, there is a culture of cheating there. They are obsessed in a bad way with winning. Look, we all appreciate and respect winners and winning tradition, and that's what's been there the last 15 years since Belichick got there. Prior to that, it wasn't there. But he has instilled, unfortunately, a culture there between him and the owner that is win at all costs, shrewd as it may be. We know that, ask a St. Louis Rams fan about the Super Bowl. And the first Super Bowl they won, you know, the Rams are averaging almost 24 points in the first half, and they go into halftime being shut out.
Belichick, to me, he's taking cheating to
another level. There's no question, and just like they have to root out the bad elements in the game that commit domestic violence, acts of whether it be drug abuse, domestic violence, they've got to root that out of the game. I think they have to root this out too. You know, imagine if all 30 teams were run the way that organization is run. You would not have the National Football League as we know it. You'd have a kamikaze league, okay?
Right.
And they get away with it because they're shrewd in how they do it, but everybody knows what's going on. From microphones not working to balls deflating to cameras being used to spy on other teams. To me, when Bob Kraft goes to some owner's meeting, I have no respect for any of the other owners that even speak to him. Because if they have the courage of the convictions, they will shun him and not even speak to him. Because what he's doing is branding this league, which is the premier league in all the world, branding this league as a league where if you cheat, you got a better chance of winning.
So you're not buying the fact that they're saying that the radio signals are controlled by the NFL and not the teams?
It's in their stadium.
I'm not.
The wires are physically there, just like the balls are physically there.
Well,
now, they're going to obviously change the chain of custody of the balls now.
Are they?
As I understand. Well, I understand there's a proposal to do that.
Well, I mean, it
makes no sense to measure the air pressure an hour before the game and then give the balls to the team.
To the team.
Well, why have they done that for 100 years? Because nobody would have ever thought of cheating until these guys came along.
Except that most of us, I mean, I know a little bit about football. I had no idea that each team has their own balls.
Absolutely. They come on the field with their own. You know where that comes from? That goes back to when the AFL-NFL merged. Well, before that, you had the first Pro Bowl, okay, involving the AFL All-Stars, the NFL All-Stars, and they couldn't agree on which ball to use because the NFL ball was a little huskier, a little higher inflated, which made sense because the AFL was a passing league. In any event, what they finally did in classic American fashion is they agreed to disagree, said when we go on offense, we use our ball. When you go on offense, use your ball. And that's what they did in the Pro Bowls up to this 1970 merger. Oh. When they merged in 1970, they said, we'll just keep doing that. When an AFC team plays an NFC team, you use your balls, we'll use ours. And that's where that comes from.
I never understood that.
They just have different balls.
A major league team, you know, when the Red Sox come to the City Field, they use their baseball?
No. The home team in baseball, and yet that goes back to the 1966 or 67 Chicago White Sox. Do you remember that scandal?
They used
the claim. If you remember, the White Sox had that great pitching and speedy rabbits on the bases, and they won all their games 1-0, 2-1. So what they did was they used to take their baseballs when they were still in the cartons, and they would deep freeze them so that the balls froze to the core. Then they would bring them up a couple of hours before game time so that the outside was room temperature, but in the core of the baseballs, it was cold, on the theory that a cold baseball is dead and doesn't travel as far.
Right.
I mean, that was Eddie Stanky back in 1966 with that move, and somebody ratted on him, and they figured that out, and now
did they do it with their own team, too? Or are they all using the same balls?
They wanted dead balls because they had no hitters on the White Sox. They were a speed team.
Not that I'm going to defend the Patriots, but if the NFL allows home and home and away footballs, they're asking for trouble.
Well,
absolutely asking
for
trouble.
But you know what, Ken? You know what? You have a $9 billion industry of quote-unquote professionals. Should they have to monitor the PSI in the ball? I mean, come on.
Then they,
you know,
they should have
if
been
it's
universal
that
all
bad,
along.
Then we're all in bigger trouble than we know we're in this
country.
Then
the NFL should have said 50 years ago, here's the footballs, it's the same footballs.
Yeah, but when they merged, when they did the merger of the leagues, that was one of the agreements.
But
that,
wait a minute, John, are you saying that, you know, when Green Bay plays Chicago, they're in the same division, so they do the same thing,
okay,
don't they?
The type of ball is going to be the same ball.
No, the type of ball.
But they have their own balls.
But that's the issue. Why? In other words,
why? When, the NFL is allowing it to happen.
Then why in the world? I mean, I understand what you're saying about the two league, but now if you have, you know, if the Packers are playing Chicago.
Well, now this isn't the all same, the balls are the same balls now.
Yeah, but now, why
okay?
would a team
but this,
have their
this
own balls?
This chain of custody of balls and control of the PSI goes back to the merger when they agreed to use the different balls.
Yeah,
and it wasn't until about 10 years later that they standardized the ball.
Well, okay, but now they had standardized balls, so why would they give a team their ball?
Because nobody would think that anybody with the privilege of playing in this league where they make $9 billion would even think
right.
about doing the wrong
but obviously,
thing. Because remember, this is America.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. They should, the umpire, the...
Come on.
The umpires.
Let's
the
go to break,
umpires.
Pat, on that one.
Okay, we'll be back shortly.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
That. We're back on the air, guys. We're having a
we're still arguing off the air.
Peyton Manning is the one that changed that rule. He's the one that demanded his own footballs about 12 years ago.
Really?
I think you're right about that. But the point is, he demanded his own ball, but that he would use the ball within the parameters
yeah, but
of
wait
what
a minute.
The league
common sense would
rules.
Dictate.
But
why would he want his own footballs? Well, gee, why would he want a different one from the other team has?
Yeah, why would they have given
No. He didn't want different. There's one ball now. They standardized that. I think what Peyton was all about was he wanted to be able to hold those balls and rough them up a little bit, and you know, because there is a like a baseball pitcher rubs it up because there's a gleam on it. He wanted to be able, there's about a dozen balls they start the game with, and he wanted to be able to throw those balls and get the feel of that pigskin. I don't blame him for that before a game, not months ahead of time. We show up in town with the balls, they just when you show up and you're getting ready for game time, the league has the balls. Okay, give me our dozen so my quarterbacks can warm up with them.
Well,
I don't see anything wrong with that.
I think there's
because implicit is you're not going to tinker with them.
But there's a lot of room for
tinkering
there.
But the premise, Ken, is that you're not supposed to do that.
Well, of course
and
not.
It's cynical. It's horrible.
It's not
to think
cynical
that
after
somebody
it happens.
Would say, "Oh, nobody's looking. We'll deflate these balls a little bit. Who's gonna know?"
Well, but frankly, we all know that every receiver knew They catch these
balls. They do it for a living. They know exactly. They can probably tell you how many pounds and ounces of air are in that ball based on the. You don't think Odell Beckham, when he catches with one hand, knows exactly what's in that ball, if that's 12 PSI or 11 or 13. Mm-hmm. They know. This is no different than the cork bat when they caught what's his name with a cork bat, and then the guy said, "Oh well, I use those for practice to practice my swing. They're a little lighter, and then I couldn't tell one bat from the. I mean, come on."
That was Sammy Sosa, yeah. Wasn't it?
That was Sosa. Said I couldn't tell. They're like 8 ounces lighter.
When the Steelers started out, I really thought that they were, they went right down the field. And unfortunately, they got stopped. They didn't get that touchdown. And then.
But that's been their history against the Patriots. Yeah. They take it to the 6-inch line. And Roethlisberger, for all his. See, the strength of Roethlisberger is extending the play. He's at his best on the 50-yard line. He's got room to run. His receivers have run deep. So the secondary is deep. And he's got enough offensive linemen to run interference. And then they get through. And then he can reset midfield so he can start running around. But when he's on the 6-inch line, he's got nowhere to go. And that style of play doesn't work. And that's they need a Jerome Bettis back in the backfield to plow through the line. Why Pittsburgh has not gone after a big battering ram, I don't know. Because they conk out on the inside in the red zone, particularly inside the 5-yard line all the time.
Well, I don't watch them that often.
I'd love to see what
their
stat was last year. Inside the 5-yard line, how many touchdowns, how many field goals, and how many nothing. Yeah. Kind of like the Eagles, and I think that's why they got rid of McCoy. Because they got stopped on the 1-yard line twice and lost 2 games last year. And that's, again, the Giants, when they were winning Super Bowls, who do they have in the backfield?
Well, they had
Thunder and Light.
They had O.J. Anderson. Okay. They had,
way back then, but I'm saying just 5-7 years ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
Okay. So you had a big bruising back who could take the ball over the line. Okay. And I think that teams who have the big back, I know it's a passing league. But if you have, and that's why one of the reasons I think Dallas went after Murray, a big back. Philadelphia, unfortunately, I think he's going to serve them well. I think Murray is going to have a big, whether he breaks down or not, that's,
Well, I think last night, of course, the Steelers were doing a running game, and I think it almost became predictable, too predictable.
Well,
throws, yeah, but it was.
You don't have Vince Wilfork anymore in New England, and so the perception was that they were soft up the middle and we can run on them. Well, I think New England did a better job than was expected, more adequate, because their weakness is in the secondary.
Right.
And, you would think a guy like Roethlisberger would be picking them apart. I really have to question their game plan, Pat.
Do you think, let me just throw this out here, the last few years we've seen more passing-oriented offenses, more and more and more and more, and teams are building their teams around smaller, more mobile players. I could see a team, and I don't know who it is out there, kind of going back to the running game and being able to dominate these teams that have smaller, mobile players.
Well, wait a minute. They're going back to smaller players on offense. Witness the Patriots dinking and dunking, to quote Mike Francesa, dinking and dunking Seattle for 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns because they were 5-yard passes. Okay?
Right.
So, but not on defense. So if you line up with big backs, they still got big guys on defense.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the average defense now has 2 linebackers in it and a couple of safeties. So we're replacing 250-pound players with 220-pound players.
Well, the average defense is situational defense. I mean, certainly on third and long, you're not going to have, five down linemen.
I don't know. I could see a shrewd coach going back to 3 yards in a cloud of dust and being able to plow down the field because the other team's not equipped to stop that type of attack.
It's kind of like the life insurance argument, okay? For years, everybody bought whole life insurance and paid through the nose for it. For years, NFL teams had big running backs because that was your road to pay dirt. Then people said, let's go to the lighter version. Let's go to term. Less costly, okay? Now, you're right. The league, there's a lot of they went to the scat backs, backs.
There's no more fullback.
There's no fullback. That position has really kind of been morphed out of the league. And so, the league constantly evolves. What's amazing is how quickly the league evolves. It's a very different league than it was just 5 years ago.
Yeah, I'm just thinking defensive coordinators are shrewd as they are going to come up with ways to slow down these West Coast offenses, and the offenses are going to have to resort to the running game.
Well,
again.
That's why they went to the read and shoot, you know, because the defensive coordinators. Hey, there's a Bill Wolfson sighting.
The referee is here.
I'm so glad all you guys are here because I'm running late.
Ladies and gentlemen, the venerable Bill Wolfson. Time. Good afternoon, Bill, and welcome to the Sports Guys.
Join the fray, Bill. Okay. Join the fray.
Good afternoon, everybody. I assume that you've all been speaking badly about me and all the sports teams like.
We didn't even mention you.
Well, one
we
out of two isn't bad.
Forget it.
We would never speak ill of you, Bill, but your sports teams, maybe.
Well, I figured you'd at least be vilifying my Yankees and saying bad things about my Eagles or
No,
Flyers.
We were just talking how great the Mets were, and yes. We have one guy here who is kind of crowing a little bit that his team has got a 7.5 game lead, and we didn't even mention the Phillies.
Can you say 64 Phillies?
Well,
by the way, how many games was that in 64? It's so amazing every time I hear it. How many games did they blow the lead for?
They were up 10 games.
I thought it was 12.5.
No, they were up 10 games.
Yeah, but there were only like 14 games to go.
And
maybe 12 games to go.
There was 2 or 3 weeks in the season to go. And on one of those Saturdays, as a tenderfoot Boy Scout, age 11, I saw Richie Ashburn lose an Orlando Cepeda ball in the sun, and it dropped for a double, and the Giants went ahead on Chris Short, and everybody.
Chris Short was a great pitcher for the Phillies.
He was a great Phillies pitcher, and the Giants went home winners. The Phillies went home losers, and I went home as a Boy Scout, and I said to myself.
Learn to swear.
No, I already knew how to swear by then. I had an uncle who was in the Navy, and when he dropped something, he used words that I think you have to be at least a chief machinist mate in the Navy to use. You get to use those words if you're just a machinist mate. You have to be the chief machinist mate. But I went home, and my mother said to me, they're not as good as the Dodgers, and they'll never be. And I sort of looked at her, and I didn't say anything, and I just went down the basement, but just like the Phillies did. But Gene Mauch, who was the manager of the Phillies then, practically took out a gun and shot himself. He was absolutely astonished. He was, the English have a great word, gobsmacked. He was completely gobsmacked that his team blew a 10-game lead with 2.5 weeks.
I mean, at least the Red Sox 14.5 game lead was in from August, and that was 2 months.
Yeah. Well, see, one of the things that reminds me of this is, remember, right before the trade deadline, the Yankees were 7 games up on Toronto, and now Toronto's, what, a game and a half?
Was the lead up to 7? I thought it was 5. It was actually 7.
It was 7.
And now
seven
I think they're
a
game back in the loss column, so an 8-game difference.
Yeah. So there's been a heck of
a swing.
And
they're playing a doubleheader tomorrow. Was it one game tonight, 2 tomorrow, and 1 Sunday?
Tonight, Luis Severino goes, and I forget who's pitching for Toronto, but I think it's that great
David
pitcher they
Price.
Got by Price.
Price.
Yeah, but didn't Toronto, at one point, they won 11 straight games, right?
Well, sure. That's
Toronto,
how they climbed back into the
race.
Two
11-game winning streaks this year.
Two.
Yeah.
Toronto got so red hot after the trade deadline, because they got the 3 guys they got plus a couple of guys they brought up from the minors, that they went, what, 11? They won 11 straight, then they lost one.
Yep.
Then they went 8 or 9 straight, and then they lost another one.
Well, they got Price. They got
Tulowitzki, right.
And they got they did get somebody. I don't know. I can't think of who
I know
got
who
another
it is.
Pitcher.
A pitcher, another pitcher. He was a relief pitcher. He's excellent. Pearson?
Don't know.
But the end
Toronto
result
fans,
for Toronto, the end result for Toronto is only the Maple Leafs should play so well this winter.
But the thing is about Toronto and the Yankees, it's a great series, first place on the line. They're both making the playoffs.
Well,
one team will be in the wild card playoff.
That's right, because the Yankees are about four or five up on all the other wild card.
I mean, unless they collapse.
But that's the point, and I think that's what everybody's afraid of around here.
The Yankees finish second,
and they have to go to a one-game playoff, and you could lose that.
That's right. Yeah. Remember, that wild card is one game, all the marbles, which I think is very clever, because now you're rooting for your team to get in.
My favorite one-game playoff was the Mets and the Braves.
Why is that?
Because the Mets lost.
Mets never had a one-game playoff with the Braves.
Well, a couple years ago, when they got... the great Atlanta pitcher came.
Glavine lost the
one-game playoff. Who did they lose to? I thought it was to Atlanta.
Uh-uh.
No?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it was the Pirates. Wasn't it the Pirates?
Mets haven't been in the playoffs in a long time.
No.
They lost the last day of the season.
They lost the last game of the season, and then there was a tie, and they had to have a one-game playoff.
Right.
There was a tie.
Which they won. They beat the Reds. In 99.
No. This was just a couple years ago.
Al Leiter threw a complete game.
This was just a couple years ago.
That's the last time the Mets were in a playoff game.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't a playoff game. It was a tie-breaking game. It wasn't considered a playoff game. And that was just 4 or 5 years ago.
That was the Reds.
That's what I'm saying. And Glavine lost that game.
No, he never pitched a postseason game for the Mets. Uh-uh.
It wasn't a postseason game. It was a tie-breaking game. We'll have to Google that and look it up. But there was a tie-breaking game. And the Mets lost it.
This is a very exciting time for New York sports. You know, the Rangers had a good season. The Yankees had a decent season that nobody expected.
Correct.
The Mets have had a wonderful season. It's been magical for them.
Who would have said that 2 months ago?
The only team that really hasn't had a good season is the Knicks.
Well, but they haven't had a good decade.
That's true.
They haven't had a good century.
I mean, if the Knicks were a baseball team, they would be playing single A ball somewhere.
Tuscaloosa Mud Hens.
They haven't had a winning record since
Toledo Mud Hens.
Ewing left.
Toledo Mud Hens. That's right.
It's been since Ewing left. They haven't had a winning season, I don't think. How long has Brady been with the Patriots?
I think it's 11 years.
No, it's longer than that. 16 years.
16 years.
Since 2001.
When did they win?
Because he stepped in when Drew Bledsoe got hurt against the Jets. Mo Lewis hit him as he was going out of bounds. That was at the end of the season. They decided to keep him in, and then he beat Pittsburgh in the playoff game, and they wound up beating the Rams in the Spygate Super Bowl.
That's like 2001,
right? That was 2001.
Wow. So he's had quite a run there.
He has.
How many times have New England missed the playoffs in the last 15 years?
Well, they've been in the Super Bowl 6 times and won 4 of them.
Right.
In that era.
They missed the playoffs maybe 2 or 3 times.
They lost both to the Giants and they won 4 others. So they've been
against Pittsburgh last night.
But they also lost to the Packers, but that was before Brady.
That was in 96.
That was before Brady.
Is that Bledsoe? You see the QB?
That was Bledsoe was the QB back then, yeah.
They looked awfully good against Pittsburgh last night.
Well, they got a new radio gate now. Now that's the reason they won that game, because they had the radio signals.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too, last night. Radio gate. Somebody's calling the plays and taking too long to do it while they're
when you want to tease young people is to ask them something like, and you can figure out how to phrase this better, more cleverly, but something like, why is it always blank gate? There's radio gate. I'll bet you kids don't even know. They don't even know where it comes from.
I don't know if I know where it comes from.
Oh, come on, Pat.
Watergate Hotel.
Other than Watergate, is that when it first started?
That's it.
Okay.
The famous Watergate Hotel.
I know the Watergate Hotel. I guess I hadn't thought about and connected the two. By the way, we're also going to have to come up with something because we have some coupons to give out for the
Longhorn Steakhouse on Route 31 in Flemington. For anybody who calls in, we have free appetizer coupons.
I think
worth $10.
I think One of you guys have the coupons, but
yeah, that either for free appetizers, free drinks, things of that nature, worth about $10.
Well, you could really have a heck of a party with $10 these days, can't you?
Well,
and the appetizers are awesome.
Better than you have the $10 than Longhorn has the $10.
Yeah, and I mean they have a shrimp appetizer that is well.
Well, you've been lobbying for them to bring that back.
Oh no, that's the one they have. I've been lobbying for. Some other
Pat was screaming at the manager because they won't
I
bring
wasn't
that
screaming,
back.
But I was suggesting,
demanding.
I was suggesting.
Really? I mean, you didn't take your shoe off and pound it on the bar?
No, she just held the shoe in her hand. Mm. That's
said,
all.
Said, I want that appetizer.
No, yeah. This was actually an entree that they had, and why they took it off. It was a special entree, but it was really, every once in a while you want something other than. Steak, and this was really great. They called it.
But anyway, they're actually not an official sponsor of our show, but they're friends of ours, right. And they've given us a pile of coupons for free appetizers, drinks, things of that nature. If people call in the show, and what is the call in number again?
Well, it's probably too late to call in today. So,
908. We got
237.
237. We're all trying to find
I'm looking
it, guys.
0410. Right, come on, Bill. Folks, Bill. Call in. We got lots of appetizer tickets to give
anybody
away.
Anybody who calls in today, we'll give you two.
I've got a coupon in my hand.
Yeah, we'll make good on that.
And if you don't reach us today, you can call next week because if it's what day and what time?
5 o'clock somewhere. Friday, right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. And folks, next week I'm hoping to have my car guy on from Performance Auto. His name is Joey Tinnis. He owns a service station just on the way to HealthQuest where the Trident gas station is. Joey is a master when it comes to rebuilding sports cars.
How about race cars?
Race cars, sports cars, hot rods, street rods, all sorts of cars. He's a very talented guy.
Bill, what's the difference between a hot rod and a street rod? I heard you. I was listening. You didn't think I was listening, but you mentioned a street rod. What's the difference between a hot rod and a street rod?
Well, a hot rod can only be run on a race course. A street rod is actually street legal, meaning it would pass a motor vehicle agency's inspection and could be legally operated on
Thank
a public
you.
Road.
You're impressing me now.
Whereas a hot rod can only be operated on a race course.
Wow.
And there are different regulations that motor vehicle commissions all over the country have, but for the most part, street rods are street legal, and you or I could drive them. If, of course, anybody remembered how to drive a stick shift.
Oh, wait. Whoa. What are you talking about? I have a stick shift truck that I drive every day.
Well, good for you. I wish my car was a stick shift because it's very boring when you don't have a clutch.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, I love it, except if I'm going on 78 or 287 and there's stop-start traffic.
I'm very happy with my clutchless automatic transmission.
A lot of people are.
Well, if you have a four-wheel drive truck. I mean,
if you have to drive here in New Jersey, having a clutch is a nuisance.
But yeah. I can't believe anybody buys a sports car that has an automatic. I mean, come on.
I will say my BMW 3 Series is automatic, but you have to understand there's 8 forward gears. That's a lot of shifting. 8 forward gears.
But the only reason you can have 8 forward gears is because it's done automatically by a computer.
Right.
And that computer is shifting far faster than you ever could.
That's actually not true. Because
really?
All BMWs come equipped, and I can't remember what the catchword is, but all you do is push the lever to the left, and you're in
manual mode.
You actually shift it yourself.
Right, but each motion doesn't require you putting your foot down on a clutch and bringing it back up.
Correct.
So there's a difference there.
That is correct.
It's in manual mode. So
yes.
Somebody once described that to me in very polite terms of knowing the words but not the tune.
That's funny. Well, you got here late, but you're really on your game today.
All right,
today.
Guys. We're playing. My Packers are playing Chicago this weekend.
I think there's going to be a big win. I think the Packers blow out those Bears.
Let's hope so. It's in Chicago, and, that's a great rivalry. I don't care. I mean,
What's the spread on that game?
I don't know, but I think irrespective it's six. Of who, I'm usually that's a very small.
Is Jay Cutler gonna?
Because they're if whatever team is the underdog, they're gonna fight like hell. I mean, they really do. That's probably a game that's most fun to watch.
That'll be a win for the Packers.
I'm certainly hope.
If you can't beat the Bears,
I always think. That the Packers are going to win.
I know they have the rivalry and everything, but it's a mismatch.
Packers are going to put the game away in the third quarter.
Well, let's hope. I mean, we're really going to see what happens when Jordy Nelson isn't there.
Let me ask you, Pat.
What do you think about Jets-Browns?
Can I make a statement on the Jets-Browns? I got into a knockout pool. Maybe call me a fool. I took the Jets this week.
You did?
Yes.
A lot of people in knockout pools did, because they tend to play well against the Browns.
Because the Browns are terrible, right?
The Browns are an awful team.
And actually, the Jets looked good against the
my
Giants
My strategy
in
this year in my knockout pool, whoever's playing the Browns is who I'm taking. That's my – until I can't, you know, because the Steelers play them twice and all that. But until I can't, whoever's playing the Browns.
Well, the only reason that I never won the pools when I was in a big law firm – is that I couldn't bet against the Packers